When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Monday. That means a great opportunity to visit with Victor Jakes, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and he joins us from his palatial estate. And first of all, did you have a chance to see any of the clips or see any of the reporting, or were you even down there for Wayne Allen Root's big event down along Las Vegas Boulevard on Friday? They had supposedly over 2,000 people there, 980 cars. That's a lot of folks, and they want to get back to work.
I certainly followed along. I mean, really an impressive turnout. I mean, it's not easy to get that many people together unless the President of the United States is coming somewhere. For a political rally. So, I mean, that's just a huge outpouring of support. I mean, I think there is a growing belief that, you know, look, we understand that certain people are more vulnerable, the elderly, nursing homes, those are with pre-existing conditions. But other people are extremely unvulnerable, and those people should be allowed to get back to work responsibly.
From your following of Governor Sisolak, does he respond to public pressure like this? Does he react to it?
You know, I think he is really isolated right now. That's certainly the impression that I've gotten, where it's basically just, you know, he's kind of holed up with his chief of staff and probably Billy Desiliotis from R&R Partners. And, you know, they're just there in a bunker, basically with their heads down. You know, I think it's interesting. I think the political angle is interesting, obviously not as important as people's health. But, I mean, there still is widespread support for lockdowns. I just think that's going to change pretty dramatically once, you know, I mean, people are still, you know, it's a month into it. You know, when you're 3 months into it, when you're 6 months into it, when you're 2 years into it with 20% unemployment, I mean, that's when people start thinking, you know, maybe the lockdown was a bit of an overreaction, and we should have tried to open up Las Vegas sooner and mitigated the damage that he's causing right now.
So what should he do? If you could wrinkle your nose and you could become the czar of Nevada, what would you do? What businesses would you open?
Well, I mean, the easy ones are things like golf courses. The easy ones are you know, basically any small or medium-sized business where you can maintain social distancing if you're able to, you know, do a lot of things outside. You know, just the risk from those businesses is extremely small. I mean, and drive up church services, real estate open houses. I mean, all these things on the margin that are just not high risk areas by any means. The harder question is, well, what happens with, you know, movie theaters, or what happens with the strip and the casinos? And I think you want to start with the small to medium sized businesses. Give it a couple weeks. You know, if there's not an increased surge of hospital capacity, then you start letting the casinos open slowly. You know, Wynn Resorts put out a very detailed, like, 20-page plan on what they're going to do to keep people safe. They're going to limit the number of people at their games, every other slot machine. You know, and so, the casinos have an interest in getting this right because, you know, they obviously know that they aren't going to be making money if people come and they get sick. And so they've laid out a lot of, you know, very detailed, you know, hand sanitation stations, how they're going to be cleaning things. And we need those companies back in business.
Again, Victor Jakes joining us, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm curious, you get a lot of social media, you get a lot of texts, a lot of emails. Is this a feeling, this feeling that we saw Friday down Las Vegas Boulevard, is that something you're seeing in your correspondence?
Well, I certainly am. I mean, there's a lot of people who basically think, you know, look, I mean, there's a middle ground between, you know, stick your head in the sand like Governor Sisolak and don't have a plan and open everything up tomorrow. And in the middle ground is basically just what I outlined, is we spend a month, we shut the greatest economy in the history of the world down for a month to basically on the possibility that there would be just a crisis, that the hospital system would be overwhelmed. And we all agreed 6 weeks ago that the reason we're shutting down is not to limit the number of people who had the virus. It's to keep the hospital system from being overwhelmed. And we did it. We've done it. We've been there for, you know, probably 3 weeks where the hospital system's like, hey, yeah, we're good. We got lots of capacity. And that means there's supposed to be a change in the restrictions. That was the deal. And so Governor Sisolak is moving the goalpost, and he's gone from basically don't overwhelm the hospital system to, well, if even one person gets infected, we've done something wrong. Right, you can't live your life that way. You can't govern your state that way. I mean, every public policy decision is a trade-off between lots of different factors, including public safety, which is a very important factor. But you don't stop all activity because there's the possibility that someone could get hurt. And the analogy that I have is, you know, look, if we close down the schools permanently, there would be less death from automobile accidents. School buses wouldn't get in accidents. Children walking on the way to school wouldn't get hit. But you know what? We don't do that because education is very important. And so we mitigate those risks. Right? School buses, the drivers, you know, drive safely. We have crossing guards. We talk to our children about here's how you walk to school. So we mitigate the risk as best we can. And then we say, we've got to have an education too. And so that's what being a leader is supposed to be about, is not just, oh, I'm just going to look at this one factor and we're just going to focus on that one factor. And that's it. It's, you got to look at all the factors. And then you got to figure out how do we get 99% of the public safety and still get 99% of the education benefits and the business benefits. That's what we need.
Victor Jakes, one of the problems for the governor, as I see it, is he has a lousy bedside manner. His press briefings are stiff, technically really rough. You can't hear some things. People, phoned in questions get lost. It's just not a good way of selling something that's not terribly popular. And that's the idea of, you know, house arrest.
Yeah, I mean, he's rough. He's rough on the press briefings. And I don't actually think that's, you know, I don't think it's a malicious thing. I don't think it's something he's trying. It's just, as you said, he comes off as gruff. He comes off as grumpy. And it's not very comforting, especially when he doesn't have a plan. I think people care, you know. I think it's important. You know, I think people want that. They want that compassion. They want to feel like, yes, this person cares. And they're certainly not getting that. But I think what they really want is they want an idea that there's a path forward. And it, you know, as popular as it is now to say, well, stay at home, we got to save one life. In 6 months, it's not going to be popular because we're going to have a 20% unemployment rate and people are going to be leaving Nevada instead of coming to Nevada. And he's doing real damage, real economic damage to the state.
Well, we're going to talk about the state and the state budget and money to keep the doors open for our state. We can't just print money like the federal government can. We'll get to that and more coming up with Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm Kevin Wall, the program live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your Assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
We are your radio program of record. We are live and local now. Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us. We know that a lot of people have been hurt really badly just in a matter of weeks from this shutting down of the Nevada economy. Thank you, Governor Sisolak. The question is, how deep a hole have we dug from a state perspective? Do we have enough money to keep the doors open? We can't print more money. What is your guesstimate as to how much damage has already been done, and how do we dig our way out?
You know, if I had to guess, I'd say Nevada is going to have a $1.5 to $2 billion deficit next year. And to give you a sense, the total general fund is about 4.5, but that doesn't include. You know, probably another 1.5 from the DSA. So, I mean, you're looking at anywhere from a 25% to 33% revenue drop. That's my guess, my prediction. And so there's got to be some reductions. I mean, just the bottom line, there's going to have to be salary reductions for government employees. When you've got 25% unemployment, you can't think that, well, just because I work in government, we're going to get off scot-free. There's going to have to be some reductions. If lawmakers were smart, they would get in there and fix PERS, which is taking ever more and more from current employees. But they're going to have to look for ways to cut back. And I mean, it does seem likely that the federal government's going to come in with some sort of money. But you know, what lawmakers have to remember is, look, that money is going to need to last you for 3 or 4 years. Because the revenue reductions are not just going to be a 1 year thing. I mean, you're going to see, I think, a sustained drop in tax revenue.
Let me just ask you: the governor has taken center stage. The legislative branch of government has taken a back seat. Do they have any role whatsoever in what's going on now?
Well, they need to have a role. I mean, when you look at budget reductions this severe. And I think that it is going to be a special session. I mean, there's just going to have to be. You know, I think it does make sense to see what Congress does, because, you know, if they give Nevada $2 billion, that obviously makes a big difference. But, I mean, the money as it stands now, there's just not the money. You know, it would be nice to see the legislature, I think, stepping up and taking a bigger role. But obviously Democrats control the legislature, and so I don't think they want to make Governor Sisolak look bad. So I think they've been basically deferring to him, even though he's thrown them under the bus with things like blaming them for reductions in the unemployment insurance staffing, which actually was something that he recommended. But I think, just given the partisan nature of politics these days, I mean, the Democrat leaders in the legislature aren't going to undercut him.
Let me just ask you then, it begs the question, how and when do we start rolling this thing back? At what point? Because the criteria the governor has given us, 14 straight days of downward trending, blah, 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 blah. The problem is, the more you test, the more positives will come up, and you're never going to bend that curve down as long as you're testing more people. Am I right?
Well, if he just did total number of cases, yes. He did say percentage of positive tests, which is a little different. But the problem is, he hasn't really given a specific. I mean, I went through and looked at the daily percentage of positive tests, and it was basically from, I think, Monday to Thursday last week, we were on an upstreak. And then on Friday, he said, well, we'll look at more of like a long-term average and see if that's declining. But he really needs to put out that metric. I mean, basically what it sounds like is he doesn't know, right? He says 14 days decline, because that's, you know, similar to what the CDC recommends, but he really doesn't know. And I think he deserves to. I mean, he should not be doing any cable news hits until he's figured this out, right? I mean, he's got the jobs of hundreds of thousands of vets in his hands, and if you don't have this figured out, there is not time for anything else. Because look, it may feel nice to go on CNN and trash Mayor Goodman, but that's not helping you reopen the state. And there are literally hundreds of thousands of people unemployed who 2 months ago had no idea that they would be unemployed, and they would like their jobs back. And your job as the governor is to help them get their jobs back.
What did you think of the ambush interview by Anderson Cooper on Mayor Goodman and the ensuing sweetheart interview with the governor?
Well, I mean, there just couldn't have been a bigger difference between the, you know, the intensity of the questions there. You know, obviously Anderson Cooper had was setting her up, was trying to put words in her mouth. And, you know, look, the mayor didn't say things that I completely agree with. I mean, I think her petri dish comment was unfortunate. But look, if he interviewed Governor Sisolak like that, you would have, I think, a similar level of, you know, some kind of quote coming out where it's like, oh, man, that didn't really come out right. I mean, he was going after her. He was playing it up. And he was, and then when it was Governor Sisolak, he was basically giving Sisolak the answer in the questions, right? He didn't just throw in softballs. He said, well, here's what I think. And don't you agree with this? And I mean, so look, the CNN had a narrative. They thought they could get attention from it. And that's what they wanted to do.
They don't do a lot of 25 minute interviews.
Oh no. I mean, that was a setup. You could just tell from the beginning. I mean, you know, at the very beginning, basically, Carolyn Goodman saying, you know, I want Las Vegas to reopen. And so you could take this two ways, right? Well, of course, we all want Las Vegas to reopen because we all know how important it is for the casinos to be open, for tourists to be coming. That doesn't mean that you just do it right away, but he's taking it as, oh, well, you want Las Vegas to reopen without any safety precautions. And so, you know, It was definitely an ambush interview. I mean, that's all it was. He had an agenda, and he was going to just keep pushing and probing until he got the sound bites he wanted.
So what's your guess? Do we get opened at the end of the month? Do we get open May 15th, June 1st, or somewhere beyond?
You know, I'm just going to – I mean, not April 30th, certainly not. You know, I'm going to hope against hope that – you know, by the middle of the month, he has relaxed some of the more onerous restrictions, you know, the restrictions on golf. It's like, actually, it's a great idea to play golf. I mean, the new research that's coming out says that the sunshine is literally a great disinfectant for this. So instead of stay home for Nevada, go outside for Nevada, you know, keep yourself and those around you safe. So I'm hoping by the middle of the month, there's some sort of relaxation of the really just dumb restrictions, the restrictions that aren't benefiting, that aren't, you know, there's not a good public safety reason for small and medium-sized businesses, outdoor activities, things like that. And then, you know, 2 weeks after that, I mean, the problem is that Sisolak has set up this standard where basically he says, you know, we aren't going to jeopardize public health over the economy. Well, then it's never okay to open up. And so at some point, he's going to have to reverse himself on the standard that he set up. Yeah. And that's going to be hard to do.
Hey, listen, always good to visit with you. Stay safe to you and the family. Stay home. I figured you probably would. And we'll talk again next Monday.
Look forward to it.
Thanks man. That's Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Up next, State Senator Scott Hammond. He'll be talking about the rally on Friday. And the non-plan from Governor Sisolak. We'll get that and more coming up. Live and local now.
Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are rising in afternoon trading. Investors are optimistic that stimulus measures, along with the easing of coronavirus lockdowns, could help jumpstart the economy. Shares of Tesla are spiking and are on track to end at their highest level in 2 months, following a report that said that the electric automaker has told some workers at its only U.S. automaking factory in Fremont, California, to prepare to return to work by next week. However, things aren't as rosy for General Motors, the automaker suspending its quarterly dividend and share repurchases in an effort to to preserve cash. UPS and CVS are teaming up to deliver prescription medicines via drone to the Villages, Florida, the largest U.S. retirement community. The drone deliveries will begin on May the 4th. The first flights will be delivered to a pickup location near the area. Initially, a UPS ground vehicle will complete the delivery to the resident's door. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm Chris Foster. President Trump has a video conference with state governors today and meets with a group of CEOs about next steps for the economy moving through the coronavirus outbreak. What was a daily White House coronavirus briefing is off for a third straight day. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany tells Fox.
There will be briefings throughout other portions of the week, but these briefings are excellent. They're a way for the president to speak directly to the American people.
The president on Twitter Saturday called the briefings not worth the time and effort. The Supreme Court rules the federal government must pay insurance companies who took part in an Affordable Care Act program.
Under the 8-1 decision, the Trump administration must pay insurers $12 billion under the program, which is aimed at encouraging insurers to cover previously uninsured people. A lower court found Congress had suspended the government's obligation to make those payments.
Fox's John Decker. America's listening to Fox News.
Tiger King was a pop culture phenomenon, but there's more to this story. Now, Nancy Grace goes inside the jaw-dropping series, asking the unanswered questions.
Did Joe Exotic shoot the tigers?
Is there any doubt in your mind that Carol Baskin's husband, Don Lewis, is dead?
With in-depth analysis you won't see anywhere else. It's a must-see investigation only Nancy Grace can deliver. Available now, only on Fox Nation.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Download and listen to The One with Craig Gutfeld.
I have a theory that change doesn't come unless it's forced upon you. Could this be an amazing opportunity to remake baseball into something that's watchable?
You don't need to remake something that's been the pastime for over 100 years. Baseball's fine. Listen, this is the worst sports idea since someone drafted Johnny Manziel.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. America's listening to Fox News.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them. Thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
Just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
By the way, congratulations in order for my buddy Wayne Allen Root. They had a huge, huge throng going down Las Vegas Boulevard on Friday afternoon. Metropolitan Police Captain Warner George said police estimated 980 vehicles were participating, and most cars, according to the reporting in the RJ, most cars in the outlet parking lot appeared to have at least two people inside. So that's a couple of thousand people progressing down Las Vegas Boulevard, demanding that our state be reopened. A guy that has had a ringside seat to this because he's in state government, Scott Hammond, state senator from District 13. He joins us. Did you follow much of what was going on Friday afternoon down Las Vegas Boulevard?
I did. A lot of my friends were there taking pictures, sending them out. So I did get a chance to do that. I actually was on the phone handling constituent calls most of the day. About 2 o'clock, I turned around and said, it's starting right now. And I tell you what, I'm pretty proud because the organizers of that event were very mindful. They were very cognizant of the fact that there's still the virus going. The virus is there. They know it. And so they wanted to make sure that people were safe, practicing social distancing, staying in their cars. But they had to, they just felt compelled to demonstrate to everybody, to the governor especially, because that's about the only way you can get to him right now, is to be able to make these kinds of demonstrations to say, we're ready. We're ready to open up and open up thoughtfully, you know, with a plan in place. You know, you tell us, what are the protocols? How do we get this shop open? How do we get a dentist office open? They're all cognizant of that, and they went out there and then demonstrated and said, we need this open. Just give us a plan. So that everybody was asking for a plan. So it was a huge success on Friday, and congratulations to those who put that together.
And, Scott, am I right? The governor has no plan, or the goalposts keep moving, 14 days of downward trending, blah, 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 blah. But the fact is that as you test more people, you will have more positive tests. What is the plan, or is there a plan from the governor?
Well, good question, Kevin. And first of all, thanks a lot for having me on the show again. I always appreciate you and the questions that you ask. And so I'll just say I'm going to be brutally honest with you at this point, because I think we always have that sort of between us. I'm deeply disappointed by the governor's leadership during this crisis. You know, when we really needed hope and comfort, he just sort of gives us these lectures. When we needed opportunity and possibility, he gives us a scolding of sorts. I think we need to have a governor who provides that hope, that opportunity. We need a governor who isn't defensive, who is willing to work with people of goodwill, regardless of party. I think we need somebody who, before shutting down our economy, convenes a roundtable of business leaders who can come up with a plan for reopening. You know, having that vision, my father-in-law used to always say 6 P's, Scott. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. We've seen multiple plans already. Matt Maddox from the Wind put one out. Governors in other states have put one out. We've had lots of other people give the governor plans. They're all around us. We need only to look at the numbers, the science, and the economics to know what to do here. And don't get me wrong. Governor Sisolak made the good but tough decision in shutting things down when he did. He did help us flatten the curve. Where he failed is not having a plan for reopening when he initiated the shutdown. That was a massive error in judgment, one that is, you know, basically going to live with us for a very long time. And I don't think people are going to forget this. I think it's going to be carried over for many, many years.
Let me ask you, when you see what people were saying on Friday rolling down Las Vegas Boulevard, does it jive with the reaction you're getting from constituents in District 18?
I am. Matter of fact, I've had not only from constituents, but business folks in the district and outside the district. They're also jiving with the same sort of message. You know, you've got people saying, I think I've mentioned this before. I've talked to folks from restaurants. I've talked to folks from retail, folks that are dentists, orthodontists. I've talked to folks in trucking. And almost all of them will tell you, that if you just give us the protocols, give us the procedures for opening up, if you can sell jewelry at Costco, or you can sell, furniture at Walmart, Walmart or Sam's Club, then, you know, certainly you can open up a mom and pop jewelry store as long as you put in those procedures. You know, if you're talking about the number of people who could be in an establishment based on square footage, well, give us the direction. Tell us how many people. If you can only go down an aisle one way and up another aisle the other way, then tell us. This is the mitigating things. that we need to know in order to reopen. And I'm not saying we need to open up tomorrow. Almost every single plan that's out there, every single plan that you see from the governors, and I know today that the governor has joined the Western states, almost every plan out there has more testing involved in it. It has procedures involved in it. Get these to the people. Give them hope for when we open up. I know he's waiting for a certain day, but you know, let's have something in place for when that day happens. People know that this is going to be, you know, possible. This is going to happen. They'll live by it. You know, dentists have been doing it for years, making sure patients are safe when they're in their office. They live by this. They'll do it. Just give them the opportunity to do that. Open up businesses again, so that our economy doesn't suffer any more than it has already.
One of the services you've provided, not only to the folks in District 18, but anybody else that wants the information, and information is so critical at this time, is your coronavirus webpage. Can you talk about what's on it and what people will find there?
Absolutely. Thanks, Kevin. I tell you, first of all, I want to thank those who continue to make sure that this website is up to date all the time. I've got people that are working on it and then continually doing it every day. The website is HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. And like I said, it is updated every day by folks. It has education resources, food resources, resources for special needs children, resources for jobs, unemployment, you name it. We try to get it up there. We try to get up there and then update it as soon as possible, as often as possible. We have a fantastic digital team that work with my staff here on the ground to make sure that it's always the most up-to-date information. Again, it's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19, and I encourage everyone to visit if you need help of any kind.
I've got to ask you the question we ask every week now, and that is, have you heard from the governor? Have you talked to the governor?
No, I have not. I have not. The only communication I've had with the governor, and it's indirect. We have a weekly meeting that somebody from his office calls us. It's about 15 minutes long. They give us an update on a few things. Some of it is usually a little, it's already been in the press for 24 to 48 hours. So it's not necessarily really new, although this past week we did get some information from the unemployment insurance office. But then that phone call is over in 15 minutes, and there's no back and forth, so we can't ask, you know, up-to-date questions that, you know, come to our minds. And when I say ours, it's the phone call is all 21 senators at one time, and I believe all 42, after our call, is the 42 assembly people, and they do that. But I have not. I did send them a letter right before his press conference on Tuesday. I sent him a letter encouraging him to make the decision to shut down the schools for the rest of the year. And I did hear back from his office within 10 minutes, so that was good. But I have not heard directly from the governor. And I know a lot of people have asked me, why send a letter to the governor when you knew that's what he was going to talk about? I always tell people, I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I don't know exactly what he's going to do. And even then, before the press conference, I wasn't completely sure that he was going to talk about shutting down schools for the rest of the year. So I felt compelled to do that because I want to make sure that he knows this is what I've been hearing from my constituents. This is what they want to know. This is what they've been sitting on the edge of their seats for more than 2 weeks. And it was kind of a no-brainer to make that call. It was a no-brainer to shut down the schools, and it should have been done earlier so that people could start making these plans for next year and how to end this year, because, you know, people have been waiting for that information. It only makes sense because if we go back in, and I really believe in a really measured, planned out process, right? These phases that we keep talking about. And even in phase one, you're practicing social distancing and everything that goes along with that. And there's no way to do that and go to school at the same time. You just can't even bus kids to school and practice social distancing. So it was something that should have been done a while ago, but it was definitely a call that was well made. I'm glad he did it.
Again, Scott Hammond joining a state senator, District 18. One of the things he does is he provides information not only to his constituents, but to constituents statewide. And one of the things you do is your teletown hall, which has become so amazingly popular. I know you were scrambling last week after a cancellation, but can you tell us what you got on tap this week?
Well, we're going to do it again tonight. It's at 7 o'clock. We haven't got a guest yet, but we're still looking to find somebody who wants to go on with us. We're looking at a couple of different possibilities. We'll see if we can find somebody. I think at this point, a lot of people have more questions about unemployment insurance, but also the testing that's going on or the testing that should be going on. There's going to be a lot of questions about who's opening, when they're opening, you know, that kind of thing. So we're going to try to get somebody on here tonight that can answer some of those questions. But more than anything, it's a great opportunity to, you know, bring in questions from the constituency of District 18 up there in the Centennial Hills area, and then go out there and find that information and call them back. I've had wonderful conversations with people. I love it when I call them back and they had no idea. The other day I had a call from a lady who told me that a person told her, just call this guy up, call Scott up, he'll help you out. So she called me up and she said, is this Scott? And I said, yes, it's Senator Hammond. And she said, wait a second, is this Scott Hammond? I said, yes. And she said, well, nobody told me you were a senator when they told me to call you. And I said, well, that's who I am. What can I help you with? And so we had a nice conversation. But I think word is getting out, and people call me up, and you know, we have nice conversations about where they're at or what they need. And I tell you what, people are handling this really well. I know a lot of people can be and perhaps are really frustrated, but they handle it well, and they're really, you know, coming together. But, you know, some answers have to come, and they have to come quickly, because people are losing a little bit of hope. And I think the governor needs to go up there and show people some leadership and some hope right now.
Well, the thing that I hear from your constituents, my listeners, is people are absolutely fed up with the unemployment office and the fact that they can't talk to a live person. They can't even get through. And these are people that work for us, supposedly. Is it getting any better? Are people getting their unemployment benefits?
They are. They're getting their benefits, and it is getting better. I tell you what, I call somebody up in Carson City, and I won't mention his name right now, but I tell you, every time I call, he answers the phone, right? He's in his office. And then we work through problems. I can't get somebody at the front of the queue all the time. That's just not the way it works. We want to make sure that we're taking people at the right time. But he's also very quick to let me know, well, this is what we're doing. For example, this past week, they've identified 80,000 applicants who, for whatever reason, the computer sent an error message and saying, well, you know, a lot of times those error messages for a reason, right? They're trying to catch fraud, but it caught these and then put them into this, you know, batch, and they've been sitting there waiting. Well, they've identified these 80,000, know how to process them, and they should have them done by the middle of this week. So they're making real progress there. These folks were inundated with a lot of new filings and a lot of new applications. And like I said, you got hard workers on one end, and you got people who are as patient as they possibly can. And, you know, together we're going to get through this. But I just want to say, you know, a shout out to those people who are working hard. They just were inundated. And you know, hopefully that works out. But I'm really proud of the people who I've had phone calls with, because they understand what they're going through. But some of them just couldn't wait any longer. That's why they had to reach out and talk to somebody and say, what's going on? And nobody else is giving answers out there, or very few people are giving answers. And that's why they were just reaching for something.
Do you get a sense that people are going to be okay if the governor extends the stay-at-home order? If this thing goes into May, if it goes maybe into June, do you get a sense that people are going to essentially have had it up to here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Kevin. I think that people have it over here. And it's going to be much more difficult when you've got Utah and Idaho opening up this Friday. This past weekend, I had folks that I know that went golfing in California, went to a restaurant in California. Again, those places all practicing social distancing, mitigating the transmission of the virus as much as they possibly can. I have folks who went up to St. George to go golfing, folks who went up to, you know, I've heard of a small group of friends who went up to St. George to get their nails done. I mean, it's going to get increasingly harder for people to accept where we're at when the numbers keep going down, and you've got states around us opening up their businesses and opening up again, practicing the phases, and making sure that we're doing this with the safety in mind, the health and welfare of the citizens. We're still practicing all that. We care about people, but, you know, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder for people to live with this idea that other states are opening up again and getting back to life, and we're still closed down.
If folks want to be a part of your Teletown Hall tonight at 7 o'clock, how do they do it? Where do they go?
Well, we usually put the phone number out there. I don't have it right here in front of me, but we usually put it out there on the Twitter. We send out Twitter. It's at Hammond for Nevada, which is my Twitter feed. And you can go, we'll update that. But we also send out phone calls to everybody to let them know. when you know what the phone call is to call in. But if you know folks want to do that, a lot of people already have the phone number. You can use the same phone number that we had last week. But again, if you just go to my my Twitter account at Hammond for Nevada, the number four. We'll have that updated pretty soon so that people will know what number to call in on.
Hey, Scott, always good to visit with you. Thanks, man. Thanks for the information. Thanks for keeping us informed. I really appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Talk to you later.
There you go. State Senator Scott Hammond joining us, and he always comes with information. I tweeted out last night that I always learn something. There's always something I didn't know that all of a sudden Scott Hammond informs us on, and that's why I like having him on. Especially in these troubled times when information is golden. And giving us information is what we need more of, not less of, Governor. Do you get that? Stick around. More to do as we continue. A busy, busy Sunday show Sunday. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number four, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Hello, I'm Steven Silverkraus, candidate for University Regent in District 3. As a state assemblyman, I fought and passed major education reforms. As a regent, I'll continue the fight to modernize and improve our state's universities and colleges. Silverkraus might be hard to spell, but it's nothing compared to how hard I'll work for you. For more information, check out my website at silverkraus.com. That's silverkraus.com. SilverKraus.com. Paid for by Friends for Steven Silverkraus.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
As a woman and a mom, sometimes you just have to take a stand. Take Dan Rodimer, who's running for Congress. You kidding me? Rodimer's violent criminal record is an immediate disqualifier. Rodimer has been arrested for violent assaults 3 times. In one case, Rodimer admitted guilt to battery. Another Rodimer attack was so horrific, his victim had intracranial bleeding. A witness at one attack told police Rodimer bragged he liked to hurt people. And an arrest warrant described Rodimer as armed or dangerous. But there's more. A police report detailed Rodimer's harassment of a teenage girl.
while another exposed Rodimer was investigated for a domestic incident. It's bad enough Rodimer was sued for forgery, fraud, and for not paying his taxes. But violent assaults and harassing women? That's unforgivable. Paid for and authorized by friends of Dan Schwartz.
I'm Dan Schwartz, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
You know, we've had so much bad news. I wanted to give you some good news. Brooke Baldwin was on with Brian Stelter yesterday on CNN. She is just returning today after beating the COVID-19 virus.
I feel like I was one of the lucky ones. You know, the COVID for me did not take a suffocating hold on my lungs. So I didn't have to add to the stress of the doctors and nurses in these hospitals by having to go in. And certainly, as I've heard from so many people on Instagram, you know, their loved ones being on ventilators. That said, it was like going to hell and back, and it could have been much worse. For me, it was two solid weeks of just feeling like crap. And then the final week waiting before I was fully cleared of the virus to be able to return to work tomorrow. Everything, Brian, from just really severe body aches, you know, to the point that I wept a lot at night. It was this creepy, eerie melancholy that would seep in every night. And, you know, I'm a glass half full, chemically blessed kind of gal. So all of these tears for me weren't natural, but it took its toll on me, I think, psychologically in addition to physically. And just when you think you're getting better right after the first maybe week, and I thought, all right, I'm maybe seeing the end of this. Day 9, day 10 were the worst days. Worst fever spike, worst chills. It was awful.
Do you think you'll approach your anchor job any differently now that you're on the other side and you're part of this army of survivors?
It's such a great question. Of course I will. You know, I am one of those lucky, not lucky in the sense that I got COVID-19, but that I have been able to recover like thousands have in this country. And so many thousands other are worried. So many thousands others have loved ones who are in hospitals. How can I not approach it differently? You know, I think when I talk to family members who have loved ones who are suffering, how can I not understand it and have that empathy a bit more than another journalist who is fortunate enough not to get it? How can I not, when I'm talking to doctors, you know, trying to understand why aren't there more FDA-approved antibody tests? I was reading a piece in the Times this weekend saying that out of like 14 tests, only 3 had fairly accurate results. Why is that? You know, and I'll ask doctors about plasma donation. I want to give my blood to people to be able to help others who get sick. Is, you know, so hopefully viewers who'll be watching will understand that I have such a stake in this, just like so many, you know, hundreds of thousands of other people.
The glitches were via Skype. Thank you. You want more good news? David, Brooke Baldwin isn't enough. How about this? The NFL draft drew a record 55 million viewers over the weekend. You want to talk about a captive audience? Stick around. Coming up, how do you run for Congress when you have stay-at-home orders all across the state? This is a tough one. Sam Peters is running in CD4. He'll tell us how he's doing it. That's all coming up. Live and local now.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your Assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
790 KBET, Winchester, Las Vegas. Talk now!